You're listening to the Junto Podcast, a podcast about leadership, faith, community, and pretty much anything else that you want to talk about. Visit us at www.juntopodcast.com. That's J-U-N-T-O podcast.com. Thanks for stopping by and enjoy the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Junto Podcast. This is episode 76, and we are still in our James study currently.
Yeah.
So we've gotten, this has been great. This has been, we've gotten great feedback about this series. So we're excited to continue. Keep it up.
Yeah. Episode 76. If you've joined us over the last, going on 3 weeks, then you know that we've been in, as Heather mentioned, in the book of James. And it's just an opportunity for us to dive a little bit deeper. As we mentioned, we reference scripture all the time on the podcast, but we've never done a whole book of the Bible. So we're excited. Today we'll be covering chapters 3 and 4, and then we'll be wrapping this thing up with chapter 5 next week. And excited for the month of May. We're going to talk a little bit about what we have coming up in May, but really just excited to dig into the content. James chapter 3 and chapter 4, and we're going to follow the same suit that we did last week. We're going to talk about some of the major themes in each chapter just to ensure that we have enough time to cover both chapters. So, yeah, so good stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff. How are you feeling? I'm great. Great. Bright, sunny day today.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's sunny. A little bit deceiving. When I stepped out, it was actually chilly.
Cold.
And I'm like, I shouldn't be putting sweatshirts on in April. But nonetheless, here we are.
Here we are. And I'm short sleeve.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. They can't see your woolly socks you have on, though.
Yeah, so. You can't see the socks. Perfect.
Well, good deal.
So, chapter 3. Go ahead and dive in. Chapter 3 is concerned with taming the tongue. I know we said we were ready to get into this one last week, because this is a hard thing to do.
Yes.
Probably for everyone, even us introverts who don't like to speak as much, it's still hard to tame the tongue.
Yeah, right? Very, very hard to tame the tongue. So did you want me to read, or did you want to start off reading?
You can go ahead and start us off.
All right. I'm going to read. I do have several things underlined, and we'll probably stop when I have a thought that pops up. But jump right in. If you're at a place where you can pull a Bible out, we encourage you to do that. We're in James chapter 3. We're reading this whole series. We've been reading through the ESV, so we're going to keep that going today. So, taming the tongue, James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of greater things. And I'm going to stop right there in chapter 5. I'm going to share a quick thought, and then I know you got some good notes on that as well. So, first of all, verse 1 tells us that not many of us should become teachers. Wow, it's crazy to think about that. And just to give a little bit of context here in the commentary that I have, it says that teachers were important in the early church, and it gives some scripture references, Acts 2, verse 42, Romans 12, 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. So it says teachers were important in the early church, and those who were ambitious sought teacher status for the wrong reasons. However, with greater responsibility comes greater expectations by God. And I think that's, to give a little context to this verse, is that, yeah, if we are going to become teachers of the gospel, then the intention definitely has to be pure, because as it mentions here, that we will be judged with greater strictness. What are your thoughts? Are you have anything on these opening verses here?
Yeah, sure did. You took a lot of them, but that's great.
Okay.
No, it makes sense. It's all relative anyway. But yeah, so those who teach or act in that role, mentor, will be judged stricter because those are the ones who are the knowledge bearer, the how do you say, hander-downers, so to speak.
Right, right.
So word of advice, making sure if you are in that role or wanting to be in that role, that your motives are pure, but also that you are grounded in Scripture. You're grounded in the Word because, you know, we've got a lot of wisdom ourselves, don't we? We think we do
think
anyway.
We
think
right,
we're smart
right,
and we think
right.
we can give some solid words of advice, but being biblically grounded, number one, if you're going to teach someone, be sure. This goes for anything in life, not even, I would say, folks who want a platform, want to be on the platform, on the stage, so to speak, have their own, what do you call them, YouTube channels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's so many reasons why people do that, but specifically of teaching someone or someone's something, just making sure that we are doing it for the right reasons and sound.
Right.
Giving sound wisdom and not our own heart spewing into that. Because that's dangerous, I think.
Well, it is. And honestly, this is something you run into a lot in the church. You know, we get people coming through the church all the time. And it's not that you have to prove yourselves to us, but you know, sometimes people come in and man, they want the stage right away. They want a platform. They say they have a story to tell, and that could very well be true, and that's fine. But sometimes you have to wonder, well, you know, there is a responsibility, and I'm talking specifically about church leadership. There's a responsibility on the leadership of churches to make sure that the people who are leading are doing so with proper motivation. And so, look, we all, I think it's part of us to want to have some influence. And so I think this is just telling us here, we have to guard our hearts. Teachers are important. They have an important job, but a good teacher really never makes it about themselves. Mm-hmm. Really, good teachers always point it back to Christ. And so I think that's very important to think about. And gosh, verse 2 right here, I love this. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. You know, instantly I think about it, just goes to show us that, man, no one is perfect.
Right.
Right, you know? So, thoughts on that?
Yes, I love that. I think that's exactly true. And also, you know, he likens the small rudder that steers the huge ship.
Yes.
To me, that's saying these simple things, things that you say, the power of the tongue, just the smallest thing can change someone else's trajectory.
There you go. You got it.
Yes. Proper pronunciation. So the tongue is small.
It is.
It's not one of our biggest. It's a muscle, isn't it? The tongue?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'll check.
It's weird.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm like 99% sure it's a muscle.
But it's small, but the power of it and great things that can come from it.
Yes.
Great good things or great bad things. Meaning, when I say great, good or bad, in so to speak, in those ways.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty big. Well, if you can bridle your tongue and hold your tongue and be slow to speak.
Yes.
Slow to anger,
yes.
As James reminds us, and as we talked about before.
Well,
you're doing well.
It's crazy. You know, you talked about the analogy of the ship. He also uses that analogy of the horse, right? Mm-hmm. For our cowboys and girls out there, our horse riders.
Cowboy folk.
Yeah. You know that just putting that bit in the mouth of the horse gives you control. You know, you move it to the left and the horse is going to follow that. So very, very.
And that's a powerful animal.
Oh,
that's
my gosh, huge.
We've ridden horses a few times, and I have to say that we were nervous. I was nervous every time because this is an animal, large animal. I'm just a human.
Yeah.
But the fact that his mouth is bridled and you have the reins, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about training horses and all that, but I was able to make the horse go where I wanted it to go.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me.
It is. But especially it's wild for us because we didn't grow up horseback riding. I'm sure it's different for those that grow up in that environment. Yeah. But still, it doesn't take away the majesty of it in terms right. of this beast, this, mm-hmm. Majestic. I love horses, man. They're like
they could take us out. They could handle us.
Yeah.
We could, be in their control. But also the intentionality of someone train that horse.
Yeah.
Because if you take a wild horse and you try to get on top of that thing before it's been trained, it will tear you up.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's also intentionality there.
Yes.
Thinking about a trainer and having that wisdom and using their knowledge to train this horse. And then someone else can come in like me.
Right.
Who knows nothing. I can screw everything up. Comes in and can make this horse go to the right or to the left or whatever.
Well, and I like that analogy, how it ties into the gospel. And, you mentioned this too, but verse 5, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And that's just to reaffirm what we've been talking about, how it's such a small member, but yet it is responsible for so much. And why don't you pick up from
verse
there?
Six.
Yeah, let's... Mm-hmm. Well, read the rest of verse 5. How great.
Okay. Yeah. And then do you want me to continue on?
Yeah. Yeah. Please.
Okay. I think we were going to... Yeah, because that leads us on to verse 12. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Y'all, I'm having trouble today. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness.
Wow.
The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life.
Wow.
And set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind.
Interesting.
But no human being can tame the tongue.
Wow.
It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who were made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Almost there.
Wow.
My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water?
Right.
Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water.
Gosh.
There's a lot,
man,
in that there.
Did you ever think, if you're following along with us, did you ever think that your tongue, and it's not the literal tongue we're talking about, but the words, what comes out of your mouth.
You use the tongue to say things.
Did you ever think there was that much power in the things that you say? Mm-hmm. And this is why it's so important to have an understanding of, gosh, the things that we say, man, how it impacts people, how it affects people. You can tear people down or you can encourage them. That's basically what it was saying. In one moment, you're cursing people, and by way of that, you're cursing God. And the Lord next second, you're praising God with the same tongue, with the same mouth.
My mind, okay, because this is where we are. This is what we do. This is our family. I think of us go. Okay, we go to church. We say hi to everybody. We're listening to the message. Worship is wonderful. And we're thinking about God. Okay, I'm going to be so good this week, and I'm going to do this, this, and that, depending on whatever we're learning about. And then we leave church, and here comes life again, and we're put into situations of, okay, how am I going to treat my husband today? Oh, he's irking me. How am I going to, yell at my kids right after I've had this amazing worship experience and message? And then I come home and maybe the house is dirty and I just cause this environment and this thing to settle in.
It changes the whole,
yes.
It, and gosh.
Oh, man. Just by the things and the way that I'm saying them, the way you receive them is probably the way that I'm lending them or putting them out to you. It just sets the whole tone. It's like, okay.
That's a really good point, and it's a great illustration of the power of the tongue. We have the power to set entire environments. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm real guilty of this. If I'm set off or if I'm in a bad mood or something happened at work or whatever it is, I can come home and just kind of carry that with me into the house. And of course, you know what it's like.
Man.
You ever been somewhere and then some, you know, the energy's great, everything's vibing, everything is good, and then someone comes in and boom, they bring this cloud of negativity with them.
Yeah.
And then instantly it's like the whole environment changes because of the things, maybe not just the things that they're saying, but the way that they're saying them.
Yeah,
and you can feel that. So there's a lot of power in the tongue, the things that we say and the way that we say it.
Mm-hmm. It also likens the fire starting small. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many forest fires have we seen on the news?
Right.
Of just starts out as someone threw a cigarette.
Gosh, yes.
And it starts and it trickles. And then, you know, you're getting into killing wildlife and it gets bigger and bigger and it's making its way to people's homes and businesses. It's just this huge fire, you think, oh, well, we've got firemen. They could put that out. No, these things get out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
So huge that, no, you just have to get out of the way. I mean, that's power. That's causing something big. It also leads me to the story of King Solomon's son.
Oh, wow.
Rehoboam. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a young guy, got this influence. He's become king. And because of the way he reacted, he had some harsh words to say. Instead of saying things, perhaps the same thing in more gentle way, he starts an entire war, okay? He starts a revolt and a war just because of what and how he said something.
Yeah, yeah.
So words can hurt. You know, we always talk about, what was that thing we used to say in school? Sticks and stones break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Oh,
that's
yes, they
a total
do.
Lie.
That's a complete lie.
How did that even become a thing? Because it's just not true, you know?
Somebody was trying to make the kid feel better about something.
Probably.
And it wasn't true. And in a way, if we, okay, let me rebuttal that. If we are secure in our, in God, if we are secure in the Lord and in who we are, then yes, words should. There's another saying, bounce off of me, stick like, how does it go? Words. It bounces off of me and sticks to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there's two ways of looking at that. But the words do matter. We've talked about that before, and they do hurt. They can hurt.
Well, you know, I still think you can be in Christ, be confident in who you are. And the words, you know, it's still going to sting. You know, even as husband and wife, if I say something hurtful to you, you know that I love you.
Right.
You know that I have your back and that, however, it doesn't mean that it's not going to hurt. Now, of course, you're going to get over it because you're secure in who you are and faith. And you know, ultimately that I love you. It could have just been a bad. So yes, but I get it. Words are powerful. They can pack a punch, man. Mm-hmm. They can pack a punch. And you know, somebody ever said anything to you and it just felt like you've been punched in the gut?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh my gosh, like that hurt.
It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. So. And it feels like it consumes us sometimes. If we let those things consume us. That's where our faith in Christ and our go-to, our initial first thing we did, pray, go to the Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Help me with this because it's tearing me up. Mm-hmm. It's messing me up.
Well, going on to, you know, it's just interesting that the Bible uses these great analogies. You know, verse 12, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. In other words, verse 10 says, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And he's saying, listen, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so.
It shouldn't be so.
We should not be doing both of these things. And, you know, let's just be honest. I think sometimes we just accept things because we'll go, well, we're human and God knew.
Right.
It doesn't make it right, though. It doesn't make it right.
It doesn't mean we have to stay there or that we should stay there. We shouldn't. We shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Yes. I've heard you kiss your mama with that mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. See?
I think you said that to me
I
before.
Did. I think I was like, no, I just said it on either last episode or the episode before.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You did. You said it.
That's right.
So, yeah, think before you speak. I always think of our positive affirmations and positive speech.
Yes.
Especially with our children. Goodness, they're getting enough of the negative stuff filled in their brains. We need to counteract that and put the positive in there. And in ourselves. Saw a meme. Listened to a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was a video. Because a meme's not a video. Anyway, the woman was saying, or the whole point of the meme was, that when you put yourself down mm-hmm. or talk negatively about yourself, even if you're joking, and I do this a lot, I catch myself mm-hmm. with people in the moment, and I'm like, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm so dumb. Why do I do that? Or I am crazy. I'm always all over the place. I'm always this. I'm always that. And if it's negative.
You say that a lot.
The thing is, our brain doesn't understand the difference in the playful part of saying that and then the real part of feeling that. So that is filed into our brains, the negativeness.
And you're affirming those negative attributes.
And so it comes out even more and more. It's like a never-ending cycle. It's like, I'm just kidding. But your brain is like, no, it's there. You said it.
Right.
It's real.
That's it.
Like, here, spew it out.
Right,
keep spewing it out. So I have to be very intentional about the positive things that I say out loud come out of my mouth.
No,
it's hard. It's hard to, especially in the moment, especially when you do mess up. That's the first thing I want to say is, here I go again. Look at me. Here I am.
Yeah. And well, it's a thing. I've mentioned this before that Heather and I have both done some mental health coaching certification stuff, but in my Bible certification classes that I took, there was a book that was recommended because we really don't know how to positively reinforce ourselves. Like, we know how to do the negative, like you're talking about, the negative self-talk. Yeah. That comes naturally and easy.
It's easy.
But we don't know how to positively reaffirm ourselves, the positive things. And there is literally, you have to be intentional about that. And so this is really just a great reminder of the power of the tongue, not only towards others, to God's people, but also to ourselves. And it's a great reminder that even though we know we're human and we're jacked up and that we're going to say, let's just call it what the Bible says, is bless and curse God, we can't, we need to be intentional about recognizing when we're doing that and say, okay, wait a minute, I can't do that. Like, I need what is occurring out of my mouth needs to be positive. And ultimately, that happens here first in the heart.
It has to.
It has to. That's right.
Got to. Speak positive inner thoughts. Spit.
Yep. That's it. We're going to bring it back.
Nobody tag that because that's ours.
We created
from back
that.
In,
yes.
2005?
Maybe. Yeah.
Six, something like that.
We had spitware, guys. Speak positive inner thoughts.
We're going to bring it back. I keep saying it. We're going to bring it back. Y'all keep watching out. It's coming back.
Coming back.
It's still so relevant.
Yes.
It is so relevant. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They have apps for positive affirmations.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
If you need one, download one.
Yeah.
Really. And it'll send you every day. You get a positive affirmation, positive affirmation. But think about what that would do to your mind if with, having a reminder every day.
That's right.
Getting in the Word. If you need some affirmation,
come on.
Man.
That's it.
Stay in it.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Other things you want to cover from chapter 3? Remember, we're just hitting the main themes because we want to get to chapter 4 as well. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to conclude this next week with chapter 5. And that will be the entire book of James that we discussed on the Together podcast, the Junto podcast. So.
Yeah, we're not going to go into verses 13 through 18, but it does cover jealousy, selfish ambition, and gives us the reminder that wisdom is from above.
That's
It's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits.
Wow.
So
awesome.
If you've got some feelings of jealousy, selfish ambition, one of the motives of your heart,
yes,
get this word in you. Get this
awesome.
This pure, peaceable,
love
gentle.
It.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So we're going to move on to chapter four.
Yep, chapter four, warning against worldliness. That's what the heading says, warning against worldliness. Did you read last? I think you read last. Did I read last?
Nope, because I read now. So you go.
All right, so we're going to jump right in. We're talking about some passions here. Warning against worldliness, chapter James chapter four, verse one. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Ooh. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Mm. You adulterous people. Wow, goodness. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity?
That's
a hard word. Enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Mm-hmm. Last one I'm going to read. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Wow. So a lot there. That was verses 1 through the beginning of 6 there in James chapter 4. You want to start unpacking that?
Yes. That's a lot. So the issue here that we're being dealt is loving worldly things instead of God.
Man, there are some good things in the world to love.
There are. There are. And God put them here. He's on purpose. There's no accidents here.
Right.
Of course, he's creator of all things. All things were good. It's one of our catechisms. So I think of the word hedonism. When I think of not just Western culture, it's all culture. It doesn't matter. Hedon, Greek word, meaning pleasure. Ism is like you're seeking that. That's what you're after, that pleasure. You're going to get it.
That's good.
You want it, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
That's our culture right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely.
What's that, Ariana? I want it, I got it. Is that her song?
I think so. Ariana Grande.
I get it. That's people right now in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy too because he says here, verse 1, what causes fights among you? Is it not your passions at war within you? Mm. Like, there's a war going on inside of us. Mm. And my gosh, I'm thinking about, you know, you desire and do not have, so you murder. I'm thinking about the countless murders that occur, you know, ex-boyfriends they've been broken up with. And, you know, it's like, and I know this is going down a rabbit hole, whatever they call it. But, you know, think about it. Like, if I can't have you, no one can. Like, these are just things that if they're unchecked in your heart and your spirit, man, my gosh, you are really going to have some, I don't know, you're just going to go to a very dark place. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. And he even goes on to say, we don't have because we don't ask. And even when we ask wrongly. Why? Because when we ask, it's typically we're asking for something we want instead of saying, God, let your desires be my desires. Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So, it's nuts.
Yeah, I had that here. If we could desire what he wants to be filled in us and not what we want, then it's this war that we're fighting.
Yes.
The things that stress us, the things that we think we want and need, what are the actions that we put forth based on that?
Yeah.
Even if it's not murder, we're not, you know, not everybody's going to go and kill somebody for something that they want. So let's think of, okay, well, let's bring that back to yourself. Think about it. What are the actions that you would take to get something that you want that the Lord is like, that's not right for you right now?
Yeah.
Say,
oh my gosh,
you're jealous of a brother or sister, and you're like, okay, I want that for my life. So how can I mess that up in his life? Like, let me spread some stuff. Let me spread some gossip. I know this information. Let me see if this gets anywhere.
Yeah,
let me drop a little.
Whatever you can do to add
that way,
a little.
Yeah. That way I can kind of put myself a step up above that person. Or I don't know, what steps are we taking to obtain things that the Lord is like, no.
Man.
That's not right for you.
You know, you brought this up before too, but I think about catfish. Why do people catfish?
Catfish, you know, right, yeah.
Because they want something.
What are they getting out of it?
Right. You know, it's like they want something so bad. Maybe they feel
Explain that.
Can never get this person in and of myself. Yeah. So let me pretend to be somebody else so that I can, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying people will go to crazy lengths if they let this idea of coveting something dwell in their heart to where it gets to a point where they're going to take action about it. I'm telling you, that's a dark place. That's why you have to make these things captive. You have to make them captive to the Word of God. And that's why covering this material is so important, because if you don't know these scriptures to guide your life, ain't no telling what you're going to do.
Well, you're going to get caught in this trap.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to talking about the hedonism.
Yes,
seeking
please.
Pleasure. And just to ask the question, what types of entertainment? Think of entertainment mm-hmm. today. Okay, let me say this. Before we talk about today's, just think on that for a minute. And then let me talk about this. We've learned a lot about Roman culture and the things that they, back in the day, the things that they would do, especially for entertainment. Because, you know, this is... As Rome got bigger and bigger and bigger, they got lazier and lazier
wow.
and needed something to entertain their minds and their hearts. And so they had you think of the Roman Colosseum and the things that they were entertained with, the big crowds that would come to watch Christians get eaten by lions mm-hmm. or the gladiators to go in and fight people and kill each other to the death. And that was their entertainment.
That's crazy, man.
And it was accepted.
Accepted, but wanted.
Right. And yeah. and praise and woo, the mm-hmm. crowds were screaming and all this. And I think of, wow, how could so many people think that's okay? Why were huge crowds not standing up against that and thinking it was okay? So, and then me thinking, oh, I wouldn't have been one of those people. Surely I wouldn't have been one of those ones to buy a ticket to the Colosseum to see something like that or to come in. But what do we do today?
That's
today's
it.
Culture, let's liken that to some things. How
yep.
much money do people spend going to a Super Bowl or going to just a regular football game?
Yeah.
How much money do people spend on anything? I mean...
Well, and you know, I'm even thinking of like these artists now. Man, they're openly doing, I'm just going to say, satanic stuff. I've seen so many... videos
music artists.
of uh-huh. what is displayed at concerts and mm-hmm. so much imagery of the devil and horns and things of that nature. And now it's out in the open when you're talking about hedonism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's literal worship, honestly, mm-hmm. of not of God, you know.
Right. Something else.
Right.
That's basically call it what it is. I even
yeah.
think of, and y'all, I'm not hating on anybody in particular or anything, but you know, we have this Swifties, Taylor Swifties, and I'm not saying that she's evil or anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the way that people follow her
yes.
and keep up
yes.
with her life, it's a form of idolatry. And like,
it's true.
I got to know what Taylor's doing right
yes,
now.
It's true.
I got to know what she's wearing. I got to know who she's dating. I got to mm-hmm. know. I got to get to her concert. I don't care if it's 10 states away from me. I'm heading there. I'm
yeah.
going to pay whatever I need to pay. And not just her. There's so many other idols that people worship.
Gosh,
I mean,
crazy.
Ask yourself the question, is this thing that I'm putting my time and energy, money into,
right?
Am I putting that above God? That's the question.
Yeah.
That's what you have to ask yourself.
No, exactly.
In all of these things. Am I putting something worldly ahead of God? And if the answer is yes, then there's issues.
Wow.
There's an issue. So.
Well, I wanted to go back and read from verse 3, a little bit of commentary here. Remember we were talking about, you know, the desires of our heart. And we ask God because...
Yeah.
Well, it's about us when we're asking wrongly. It says, not all prayers are pleasing to God, only those consistent with His will as revealed in Scripture. Rather than seeking to honor God and advance His kingdom purposes, such prayers seek only to gratify self-centered passions.
Mm.
And that's just wrong. And then a little commentary on verse 4. when it says adulterous people, it references here that this is kind of Old Testament language used to describe Israel's unfaithfulness. And it's just crazy. It says it will always be impossible to satisfy the expectations of believers whose hearts are set on this world. So let's set our hearts and minds on the things that are godly.
That's right. And so that's good. Also, chapter 5, where it says, he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Mm. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Wow.
I'll finish this. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Gosh, goodness gracious.
You know, we've talked about before that God is a jealous God. Okay, number one. And then we've also, one of the Ten Commandments, do not covet, which is basically having that envy, having that jealousy so much that it causes you to move or do something. So there is a difference in the righteous jealousy and unrighteous jealousy.
Yes.
Okay, he is righteously jealous for us. God's heart, he wants our hearts to turn to him because he loves us.
That's right.
That's like a husband and wife relationship. You know, if you out flirting, I see you flirting with a girl or something, or a girl's trying to take care of you and so to speak, whatever, come up and take my role, maybe, as your wife and companion, of course I'm going to get jealous, and I should, instead of being, I don't care. Whatever, he can do what he wants, I don't care. But no, we're in a covenant relationship. Mm-hmm. We said that we're going to do this thing and be loyal to each other. Sure, I should be jealous for that and act on that. Not to say I'm beat somebody up. I mean, if it comes to that, I might.
It would be me you'd beat up, probably, if that were the case.
Yeah, first. But I should act on that, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a righteous jealousy, meaning I should act, I should do something because it's the right thing to do. Right?
Right.
Okay, so I think that's how God is with us. He loves us so much and wants what's best for us. And when we turn our hearts from him, he's jealous for our attentions and our affections that they are going elsewhere.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So it's not a double standard. It's not saying, oh, well, he can be jealous, but we're not supposed to covet and be jealous. Now, if I see, you know, let's turn it around the other way. If I see another woman's husband, I'm like, oh, I like him. He's nice.
I see.
That's, you know, that's a jealousy that's unrighteous, and I shouldn't do that. And I never would. My gosh, why would I do such a thing? Or
like, exactly. I mean, look what you got.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got the best. I'd never do that.
But yeah, those are perfect examples of explaining that God is a jealous God for our affections, because
our affections.
We are in covenant relationship. God is a covenant God. And when we draw unto salvation, then we are now in covenant with the God of creation. I mean, think about that. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, man, that is our God. That is, we're grafted in. It's a very personal relationship. So
very, if anybody has the right to our affection, it's him.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I love this. And just finishing up chapter 4, thought we would read verses 10 through 12, and it says this. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Mm. So lots of good stuff there. Humble yourselves, brothers, before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yes. Do we have time? I was going to go over 10 aspects of a prideful person.
Yeah, why don't we end on that?
We're talking about humility here.
Why don't we end on that? Yeah.
So that we can self-reflect.
Love it.
Ask ourselves, what are we doing? Am I a prideful person? Can we be prideful sometimes, even if you wouldn't label yourself as prideful?
Well, can we even be prideful in our Christianity, in our walk? I'm doing more than them. You know, they talk about, you know, we're out here in the streets and we're doing this. So we can even, this is how jacked up we are, we can even become prideful about our walk with God.
Lord help
y'all. And that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Even churches, well, they ain't doing that. We doing this, you know.
I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. Yeah. I'm not cussing. I'm not this. I'm not the.
But you something, because we all have a flavor.
What's your heart? What's your heart saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So 10 marks of a prideful person. A lack of gratitude. Prideful people think they deserve what they get. Talking a lot. Prideful people have a lofty view of their own opinion, so they often like to share it.
Yeah.
Talking about themselves. Prideful people focus on themselves in conversation. You know, people, somebody came to your mind as soon as I read that.
Yeah.
They don't often ask questions of others. It's just like, spew here. This is what's happening with me.
Oh, yeah. Self-centered. Ooh. I mean, all about them.
Anger. Pride and anger go hand in hand. Angry person is upset that his so-called rights are violated. Having a high view of gifts and skills. Prideful people have a very elevated opinion of themselves. Mm. Boasting. Prideful people find ways to exalt themselves in their speech. Belittling and criticizing others. Unteachable. Lack of asking forgiveness. They seldom admit their mistakes. Lack of biblical prayer. They're prideful people. They rely on themselves. Goodness, so they seldom pray. They're like, we got this. I got this. I don't need nobody. So we talked about belittling and criticizing others. They are unteachable. Can't teach them anything. They already know everything. Lack of asking for forgiveness. Lack of biblical prayer. They are so prideful. They rely on themselves. They don't need prayer. They don't need the Lord. They got this thing.
Wow.
So these are all some marks of prideful people. And I did want to cross-reference.
Okay.
So I know we talked about that, using that when we're studying with the Bible.
Right.
So hopping from James, I'm going to hop over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall.
Yeah, amen.
A warning. That's a warning to us.
Well, and it goes right with this, because it's this whole section here is talking about humbling yourselves, not being prideful, you know, and and you know, it ends on with chapter 12, or with verse 12 rather, but who are you to judge your neighbor?
Right.
Goodness gracious. So lots and lots of good stuff there. I really appreciate you going through those 10 marks of a prideful person. And if we're being honest, we know that we had at least, at the very minimum, we know we had one on that list, probably more.
Oh, yeah, everybody has probably different seasons of life where they've been high and heavy on some of those and then lower on others. But yeah, we all have something that we're prideful about. We may be prideful about our pride, for goodness sakes. Come on
exactly,
now.
Exactly.
But making sure, and the focus here and the thing to be aware of is that being humble is that you're not focusing on yourself.
Wow.
You're focusing on others. And humble does not mean woe is me either.
Yeah.
Walking around with all right, I'm going to humble myself.
Yeah, let me, woe is me. Feel sorry for myself.
You know, I'm going to be humble and I'm just going to be lowly.
Yeah.
No, because that's focusing on yourself as well. That's a pity party. That's feeling sorry for yourself. That's not humility.
That's false humility is what that is. Yeah.
So just guarding against those things.
Well, awesome. You did a great job, and lots of good stuff there. Remember, today we talked about taming the tongue, and then we talked about a little bit about wisdom from above, and then we talked about warning against worldliness from James chapter 4. Next week, we're in the last chapter of James. We're going to talk about these two sections here, warnings to the rich. We'll break that down, and then patience in suffering, and then James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18 calls it the prayer of faith. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to introduce what we're going to be doing for the month of May. As as I stated earlier, May is Mental Health Month, so we got some exciting stuff coming up as it relates to that. But Heather, awesome, awesome job today. We hope you were encouraged by that. Remember all the things we talked about, power in the tongue, man. Watch what you say, watch how you say it. And remember, we want to be the kind of people that are edifying ourselves and others as well. So
yes, don't forget that this week. Work on those positive affirmations. This isn't just self-help.
That's
right. This is biblical help. This is standing on the foundation that our pride, our boasting, our confidence is all on the Lord.
Amen.
And with that, the motives will be pure and true.
Totally changes everything.
Yes. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed that. We are so grateful that you joined us here on the Junto Podcast. That's right.
The Together Podcast.
And we'll see you next time. Be blessed.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Junto Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can find our link to YouTube and social media at juntopodcast.com. Remember to subscribe, like, and follow. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.